Hi, my name is Roy Collin, and welcome to the show. I've also got Five Podcast, The Awakening Podcast, Exposing Fraud and Corruption, but with Solutions, The Crypto Podcast, talking about all things blockchain, NFTs, crypto, The Meditation Podcast, talking about all different types of meditation, but there's also meditations there from 1 minute to 2 hours. And the other one's the Learn Polish Podcast, so if you're interested in learning Polish, you can do that. And the other one is Speaking with Roy Collin. And I just have guests from around the world talking about either public speaking or also about their book or just general life in general. And you find everything on bio.link/podcaster. I'm also a podcasting coach. And you see the QR code there. And it's also on my link as well. And if you're interested in actually going on some podcast shows, I'm helping people doing that. Or if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com. He helps people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. So be sure to check him out, danielpacker.com. I hope you enjoy this week's show. Welcome to the Meditation Podcast. You'll find all our episodes on meditationpodcast.org. My guest today, from Canada, health and wellness advocate, founder of Catty's Crawley Composters, Catty's Sprouters, Catty's Laughter Club, certified laughter yoga teacher, public speaker, and a worm advocate. I mean, that's a lot of things. Please welcome to the show, Catty Nesbitt.
Thank you, Roy. I'm excited to be here.
I mean, you're doing a lot of stuff. It's incredible. So I suppose let's start off with kind of your journey, because I mean, you to get into all these different things, you know, just how it came about.
I was like, what am I afraid of? I'm going to have a worm business. So my working title is Cathy Crawley Laughing Bean Queen. Simple solutions for today's challenges. Worms for indoor composting. Who doesn't want worms in the house? It's okay, I've met most of them. Sprouts for eating, grow your own, and laughter for overall health and wellness. And how the worm business came about, it's the 21st anniversary, Roy. 21 years selling worms by the pound. Ugh, I when I look back, I'm like, how did that happen? How did that happen that I started selling worms in the first place? So I'm located just north of Toronto, largest city in Canada. And 2002, our landfill closed. And although Canada's pretty large country, we couldn't find a place to site a new landfill. So we started to export our garbage to the United States, 1,000 trucks a week. You know, and I do a lot of school workshops, and I say to the kids, shame on us as Canadians for shipping our garbage out of the country. Double shame on the Americans for accepting our garbage for cash. And that's the end of the joke. I mean, it's because there's only one planet. It's not really a joke at all. But, you know, Canadians have this inferiority complex with Americans. So anytime we can be like, yay, they're getting our garbage. No, I'm joking. So I had a solution. 6 million people live in the greater Toronto area, half live in condos. This is indoor composting with worms. And so I set about without business acumen or savvy. I was a secretary for 20 years. And then I had this great idea. And so I set forth. And I didn't realize in business, people don't buy what they need. They buy what they want. And they didn't want worms. And I wasn't listening, Roy. I was like, la, 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 no, this is important. You need to have this. As most entrepreneurs do, you know, we have solution. People don't buy solution. They buy what they want.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, so, I mean, yeah. I see some people these days, they do yoga with like a sheep on their back and stuff like that. Like you probably do yoga with worms on your back and you tell people.
That'll make them squirm.
But I was watching, like, I've seen some of the videos. I've seen the younger ones where, like, it was like a big box and you were kind of crumpling up. You were having the shredded paper to the newer ones. So you might kind of explain how it's evolved and, you know, how people have kind of embraced it. Because I think it's a fantastic thing, you know, doing your own composting.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It does. Yeah. So it's the worms are contained. They're not free range. Worms roaming around the house. What's going on in here in the apple cart?
Putting them to sleep at night, cuddling them.
Right. No, they like the dark. They don't want you to talk to them. Just feed them and leave them. So they live in a container. It's a carbon nitrogen mix. The carbon is the shredded paper. So that's your one way to get rid of, you know, your confidential documents. No one's taking your identity after the worms had it. And then it's your food scraps and your paper. The worms eat it all and convert it into black gold. And so it's nutrient rich fertilizer. This is a wonderful solution. I started my business as a waste management tool and quickly realized that gardeners wanted what I had. They might not want the worms in the house to do the process, but they want the end product. So the worms are going to play an ever-increasing role in waste management, soil production, and food security. And in Canada, we're very food insecure. 60% of our food is imported because we have long winters. And, you know, we think that we're going along, everything's fine, until something like 2020 happens and the world shuts down. When our borders close, we really become food insecure. We were food insecure already. We just didn't know it because the food was flowing in. There was, the grocery stores were full. When it closed, you could notice that things were missing from the shelves.
Because I've seen one of the videos that you had is like a tap, and you were basically, when you turn, unless it smells, but you can then use the water and kind of like, because it's full of nutrients as well that you're putting on your plants.
Yes, it's like liquid fertilizer. So we're putting, the scraps that we're putting in are pretty juicy, especially when we're looking at our summer fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables, tomatoes and watermelon, water, it's in the name. So those are pretty juicy. If you've got, if you're using just like a container, a plastic bin, you need to be careful that it doesn't get too wet. With the systems, there are some beautiful systems on the market, and they generally work the same way. There's trays and you have holes in the bottom. And when the tray fills up, you put the next tray on top and the worms migrate up. So you don't need to be hands-on. And then there's also the bottom tray would be where you collect the liquid. And again, if the liquid doesn't smell, it's aerobic. You can use it on your plants. You just dilute it and you have liquid fertilizer. So the nutrients are growing right directly to the roots. So beautiful.
You mentioned, you know, the worms for the gardeners, because when you said you were selling them, I didn't even think of that. To be honest, my Irish brain kicked in with the fishing. I thought you were selling them to fishermen.
Yeah, I tell people you can't say the F word, but you didn't know.
So you have, that's the Crawley composters. Now the sprouters, because I've heard about the benefits that you're saying and everything, but I mean, I don't think many people realize it. You might kind of go through that journey for us, please.
I would love it. Yeah. So 2002 was a huge year. My very first event exhibiting, I met a gentleman there. He had a sprout grower and it looks like a spaceship. It's the size of a dinner plate and it's plastic. It's got a plastic dome. So it's kind of a microclimate. And I knew nothing about sprouts or sprouting in 2002. And that thing was flying off the shelf. Haha, looked like a spaceship. So when there was a break in the audience, I said, what is that thing? And why are people buying that and not my worms? And he explained what it was, a sprout grower. So sprouts are, he probably didn't say it like this because now I've been using it for 20 years. Sprouts are hydrating, alkalizing, regenerative, biogenic, and contain up to 100 times more digestive enzymes than raw vegetables. So you can grow sprouts in paper towel, or there's all kinds, again, systems on the market. The one that I have is so simple. And I think I was spoiled with this one. You just, you know, there's a stainless steel mesh. You put your beans on. It's a single layer. So no mold can grow as long as you're rinsing, you know, rinse your beans twice a day. As soon as we add water to dry beans, they come to life. It's like, oh, time to jump into action. So they start coming alive. Once they crack open and the root comes out, that's when they're most nutritious. That's a sprout. We can buy in the store alfalfa sprouts and bean sprouts and different things. If your sprouts have a couple of leaves, now they're not sprouts technically anymore. Now they're considered microgreens. So they've got different properties. They've got chlorophyll because they've got leaves. They're still super healthy. I'm advocating for people to grow their own, because when we buy them in the store, they might already starting to go funky. If they smell bad, they're already, the bad bacteria is starting to seep in there. They're starting to rot already. It's super fresh food. So they go fat, they will go bad fast, which is why I'm advocate for people to grow their own. We're in charge of the freshness. And you save a ton of money. Like if you're just buying dry beans, you grow them at home. We, in our society, we are so fast paced. We don't have time to wait. So this makes us instant farmers. Who wants to wait 6 months for your crop to grow? You could just wait overnight or a couple of nights and you've got your beans. And so I'm really talking about mung beans, the bean sprouts that you get in Chinese food. You don't grow them that long. You just grow the beans a little, like as soon as the root is the size of the bean, that's when they're most nutritious. And I'd like to actually talk about all of those fancy words that I said that I sound so smart of, that's in, because I am smart. So they're hydrating. As soon as we get thirsty, we're already getting dehydrated. So they're juicy. Good. Alkalizing. They help to balance. Sprouts are alkaline food, so they help to balance the pH in our body. In an acidic body, that's where cancer and many diseases take place, because those bad bacteria, they love us the acidic environment. So sprouts are alkalizing. Regenerative. Worms and sprouts. I get it all mixed up. What am I talking about? Sprouts. I don't eat my worms. Sprouts are regenerative. So they're helping to rebuild our cells. And I'll use Alzheimer's as an example. Alzheimer's is a degenerative disease. Not that you can grow back your memories, but imagine if we could bolster our brain, the brain cells. Beautiful. Biogenic. This is probably my second favorite thing about the sprouts. Energy giving. When we eat live food, we get the energy from the sprout. We get the energy from that plant. And I've been eating sprouts for 21 years. So every day, I don't go a day without sprouts. And people will say, wow, you have so much energy. You know, I go and do events and I'm skipping around. I'm very high energy. I'm always moving. And people say to me, you better slow down. You're going to be exhausted at the end of the show. My husband works with me. He's like, don't worry about her. She has to run circles around the kitchen before she goes to bed. So like energy is not an issue, right? I think more when you have energy, the more you move, the more energy you get. And then the last one is up to 100 times more digestive enzymes in raw sprouts than raw vegetables. And it's the enzymes that our body needs. When we're born, we're given a certain amount of enzymes. And if we're not eating vegetables or sprouts, when we eat, our body's using our reserves. And as we start to age, we get digestive issues. It's getting younger and younger because our food's broken.
Thus, the antibiotics are killing a load of them as well.
Right, antibiotics, absolutely. We're destroying our microbiome. So, so we might go, if we have digestive issues, we might go to the doctor and the doctor will say, here's a prescription for enzyme pills. And so I'm saying, instead of taking a pill, like grow your own. They're delicious. You're getting fiber, protein, you're getting all this other stuff rather than just, you know, the magic bullet.
Do they grow 365 days of the year or are they seasonal?
They grow year round and they don't need any light. You know, so people that sometimes I'll have people say to me, oh, I live in a basement apartment. I don't have any windows. And I go, oh, sorry, you don't have any windows. You live in the basement, but you can still grow sprouts because they grow in the dark. So you can literally, if you have no space on the counter or anywhere, you can put them right in the cupboard on top of your plates, as long as you remember
how long
to rinse them.
How long does it take to grow?
Different ones take different times. The mung beans are the fastest. They'll grow in 24 to 48 hours. Summer, like it's the heat and humidity. So they'll grow overnight, even like 22 hours in the summer, and in the winter a little bit longer, depending how warm you keep your place. We have to rinse them morning and night, and it's not every 8 hours, it's morning and night.
And you know, like we know that kind of Monsanto and all these unfortunate companies, you know, giving out toxic seeds and everything. How do people know to get the best seeds that they're not actually, that they're getting the most vitamins into their body?
Thank you. Yes. If you can get certified organic seeds and beans, because we're sprouting for our health, if we can have less chemicals, and the price for in bean form between organic and conventionally grown is pennies. I mean, it's such a small amount of money that it's worth paying the premium price for the good seeds. Because a lot of the GMO seeds are like mules. They don't regenerate.
No, and it's not benefit to them. So the other kind of critical thing, I presume you should use the water as filtered as possible, because unfortunately, I know in parts of the States, it's fluoride. Unfortunately, in Ireland and a lot of the UK, thankfully in Poland, no, but like the fluoride isn't great, the chlorine that they put in and everything. So the more filtered you do the water, you bet it's like the best water you put into yourself, you should put into them as well.
Thank you. Absolutely. The highest quality water, the highest quality beans we're sprouting for our health. We know from this last 3 years, the system's broken. And we need to take care of ourselves. We need to build up our immune system so that we can, you know, take on whatever is coming at us. And by sprouting, I think it's one of the things cost effective. So it's affordable. Everybody can do it. It's nutrient rich. You know, part of my goal with the sprouts, I'm not sure other parts of the world, but in Canada, we have a big dependence on the food banks. We have breakfast clubs in schools because people can't afford to feed their children, so they're dependent on the schools. This is where the large corporations get, you know, marketing advantage. They get to donate their crappy product, pardon me for my language, but it's, you know, it really is junk food that they're providing. And I get that at least it's something for the children to eat. It's, they can't call it food, because if it's in a box and it's highly processed, it isn't. So I'm thinking, imagine on that bowl of cereal, if they could add some sprouts. Now they're getting nutrient-rich junk food. I'm saying that because, you know, they donate juice, which is just sugar, and it's everything, you know, like every, I mean, the whole, like, thing. It's,
we've been conditioned to think, you know, the with the milk, the cereals, like especially in America, because the EU have kind of some rules, but the toxins that are in it, like, people, if you can't understand what E this is, E that, and all the different ingredients, you don't, and you see people kind of eating cereals all through the day and everything. Like, don't touch the cereals. They're not good for you. Like, they're so toxic. And unfortunately, the milk as well. I mean, it's not like the milk of, you know, of the 70s. Like, the milk today, like, full of antibiotics, full of hormones. And, you know, like, that's why a lot of the children then have all, asthma and chest problems. And they think, and then they get the magic pill from the same people that's actually pushing all this thing. Like, so, like, wouldn't you love if the schools were actually encouraging the kids to do this and then eat it, because they would actually enjoy it. Then they would actually bring it home to their parents and get into the habit of doing that, because it's actually easy. I mean, you know, like, I haven't done it, but I know I will. Like, I'm going, why aren't I doing that? You know, I think it's fantastic.
It's really wonderful. And you asked about how long. So the mung beans are fastest a day or two. Say chickpeas, 2 to 3 days. Lentils, same, 2 to 3 days. You know, you can do fenugreek, radish, you can do anything that grows into a plant. You can pretty much eat that as a sprout, and raw sprouts. There is a couple of beans, like kidney beans. You want to sprout them, but you don't want to eat those ones raw. You definitely want to cook those. So just know, it's kind of like mushrooms or whatever. You don't just go and pluck the mushrooms from outside and go like, oh, this looks like the one I buy in the store, right? You want to know what you're eating. People talk about eating beans because they are fiber rich and they're good for us and all that stuff, but sometimes people get bloated or they get flatulence or whatever. And part of the reason is because seeds and beans have a coating on them called phytic acid, PHY. It's that coating is a protection for the seed. If it gets eaten by a bird or an animal, it will pass through and still be able to grow. So that acid, our body doesn't know what to do with it. That's why when you're making bean soup or lentil dal something, you want to soak your beans and then get rid of that soak water. I hear from environmentalists, they're like, oh yeah, I just use the soak water. I don't want to waste the water. It's like, Now you're cooking with that phytic acid. No, that you want to get rid of that. Like, water your plants if you want, or do something, but don't use it for cooking. So when you sprout your seeds and beans, that phytic acid is removed automatically. And then as the beans are germinating, the nutrients are more readily available to our body and they cook faster. So if you are making lentil something or bean something, or hummus or whatever. You want to let sprout your beans, and then you cook it. Whenever I am making bean soup or whatever, I'll always, after I've put it in the bowl, I'll always top it with raw sprouts so that I'm still getting the enzymes.
And for those that kind of are totally new to this, is there a book? Have you written a book? Will you write a book? Or have you a blog or something where they can learn this stuff? Because it's brilliant once you know something or somebody's showing you how to do it, and then you go, oh, it's grand. But when you haven't a clue, sometimes you can go to the wrong websites and stuff, because unfortunately there's a lot of stuff that's infiltrated as well. So what's the best way for somebody that goes, this is a brilliant idea, I need to do it, how should I start?
Yes, I have a sprouter page. It's kathysprouters.com. And there's a wonderful video on there how to do it. And there's all kinds of news articles, and there's an instruction page how to do it. I would say just do it. You know, Roy, I turned 60 last year. I'm high energy, no health issues, take no prescription drug, no multivitamin. I grow my multivitamin. I consider the mung beans sprouts my multivitamin. So I start my day with 2 tablespoons for the enzymes. Everything else that I eat for the rest of the day is properly managed in my body, because those enzymes are helping. They're like the building blocks, the amino acids that, like, oh, that's there, that, oh, protein goes over here, whatever. It just kind of sorts everything in my body. Nothing for me to do. Yeah.
Excellent. So on to the next wonderful thing that you're doing. And I like that. Kathy's Laughter Club.
My favorite thing. I mean, I've loved all these things, you know, laughter. Thank you. So it's laughter yoga. It's not doing yoga and laughing. It's laughing as an exercise, laughing for the health of it. Started in 1995 by a medical doctor, Dr. Madan Kateria. His goal is world peace. And I believe laughter yoga was started in 1995 so that there could be laughter leaders trained around the world. This is a global movement. There are people laughing in over 100 countries now. And I believe it was started in 1995, so we could be ready for 2020 when the world shut down. There was very few opportunities before 2020 to laugh online. And then everybody, of course, jumped online. And now you can laugh 24/7 online. And, you know, it came to me in 2012. I'm advocating for worms in the house, and I believe that everyone needs this, and I'm, you know, marching forward. 2012, one more person said, ew, worms in the house. And I felt it. I wasn't paying attention before. I wasn't listening. I heard it. I felt it. I questioned everything. 10 years. I was like, all right, universe, I don't know what you want from me. I tried 10 years. I don't know what to do. If people still don't know about this, they're not doing it. And so I came up with an expression: without awareness, action is impossible. And that has to do with everything. Like, now I realize, oh, that's a good statement, because if you don't know about it, maybe you're thinking the wrong thing, or you're on the wrong side, or you need to be in the middle. So the very next day, I was thinking, maybe I should just get a job. Oh, who would have me? Don't tell me what to do. I think entrepreneurs make the worst employees, because we're kind of wrecked. Right? We want to do it our way. We're exactly the boss. That's why this has to work. The very next day, when I was questioning everything, the angels sent help to my aid, and I was introduced to laughter yoga at a business meeting. And I don't do yoga. I don't even do regular yoga. I just jumped to the fun yoga. And I thought, laughter yoga, what is that? And the same week, at a networking event, hundreds of people, the very first woman I met was a laughter yoga teacher. And I said to her, wow, laughter yoga is mainstream, right? Because I heard of it twice in 1 week, so it must be mainstream. And she said, like, she was kind of indignant, no, it isn't. Take that back. Oh, all right. And we trooped around together. And I asked everyone, yoga, have you? And she happened to have a club. This was in Toronto, massive city, and her club was 5 minutes walk from where my mother-in-law lived. And my mother-in-law, she passed, but I loved my mother-in-law. She would do whatever I asked her, because she said, whenever Kathy asked me to do something, I say yes, because it's always an adventure. So I said, Mary, you want to go to laughter yoga? And she said, oh, what's that? And I said, I don't know, but I don't want to go alone. So we went to laughter yoga. It became our date night. We would go out for dinner. And she would say, we better not have garlic. And I'd say, as long as we have it, it's fine. And then we'd go to laughter yoga. What fun. So laughter yoga, again, it's not about doing laughter. It's not about doing yoga and laughing. It's laughter as an exercise, not jokes or comedy, because those are cultural, right? If a joke's about somebody, it's not funny for them. So this is just little games to inspire the laughter. I have rock hard abs from laughing. I laugh every day because I need to.
So there's people going to the gym to get a six pack and all they need to do is do laughter. Yeah.
Right. Again, you save a whack of dough. You don't need the membership and you can just do it. So the challenge with laughter is laughing by yourself is odd. It's not easy because we've been conditioned to laugh at something, laugh because of something, not just laughing as an exercise, like, ha, ha, ha. However, our body doesn't know the difference between real and simulated laughter. So we can laugh, ha, ha, ha. Then our brains like start secreting the love drugs, the happy hormones, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins versus cortisol and adrenaline when we're stressed. It really is almost like a magic, it almost is a magic bullet, because when we're laughing, we're totally present. We're not thinking about yesterday or tomorrow. We're not in fear at that moment because we're laughing. We're like, ha, 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 ha. So we're present. We're laughing. One of the most important things for laughter is that our brain requires 25% more oxygen than the rest of our body as an operating principle. It's a machine, right? The answering machine. When we're stressed, blood, lymph, oxygen leaves our brain and goes into our muscles so we can escape, so that we can get out of stress. So laughter forces us. We're laughing, ha, ha, ha. You can't just ha, ha. We're exhaling. You need to inhale and take a nice deep breath so you can continue ha-haing. It's really beautiful. Like nothing to be done on our part except to laugh.
And talk me through how long the lessons were. Are you doing just standing there and doing that? Or were they actually getting you to do some little moves and stuff? What was the whole kind of process for laughter yoga?
Yes, beautiful. So there is little games. There's maybe dancing, like just singing or like just moving around. The idea is to be childlike, not childish. So little games to inspire the laughter. There's clapping and chanting. So when you're clapping palm to palm. So you're activating your meridians. You're getting energy as soon as you start clapping. And then the rhythm is one, two, one, two, three. And the words are ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha. And as soon as we do that, we generally will start a club with that when we're in person. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. We're making eye contact. We're walking around, looking at each other. So yes, we're moving. We're connecting. Have you heard of the experiment by the researcher Pavlov, where he rings a bell and he gives a dog a treat and it starts to salivate? Eventually, he only needs to ring the bell and the dog will start salivating, thinking it's treat time. That's what this does. Not that we're dogs, but our brain gets primed. So for those that are very serious, some people laugh easy. I'm a natural laugher. I laugh all the time. And laughter yoga has given me permission to laugh more, louder, longer, harder. For people that are in their head, and very serious, like, how can we laugh? You know, oh, there's so many things going on. Oh, we have a pandemic, we have a war, we have, you know, food shortage, we have all these things. Yes. And I think it's like, oh, they're still standing. Let's see if we can, let's heap some more on there. What else can we give them? Oh, they're still standing. And I joke because, you know, otherwise I'd be crying in the corner. So for the people that are very serious, this gives them something to do. Now they're looking at their hands, they're clapping, and they can get out of their head and into their body. And that's what we want. So yes, there are little games. There are 40 foundational exercises in laughter yoga, but because it's a global movement and it's 27 years old, is that the right math? 27, 28 years old. Now it's about creativity and imagination. which helps us because when our brain is, when we're in stress, our brain isn't creative. So now, Roy, corporations are using laughter yoga. They're inviting laughter professionals to come in for team building, to increase their bottom line, because if their staff is stressed, they're not as creative as they could be. They're maybe not as connecting as they could be because they're stressed. Everybody's afraid of everybody. So when we laugh together, it breaks down barriers. The president and the male person, there's no division between them when they're in a laughter club. Everyone's just laughing together. And so a session is anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes for the most part. Yeah. And it ends with a beautiful laughter meditation. And the meditation, as you know, there's still meditation, there's dynamic meditation. Laughter yoga is a dynamic meditation. And if everybody's able, if you're in person, you do what's called bullseye laughter. After you're all warmed up, you've laughed together, you've done your workout, then you lay down on the ground if everybody's able. Heads are facing in. You're laying on your back and you start laughing. You start grating laughter. So you just start small. Ha ha ha. It's usually not fake for too long where you start bursting into big, like full on giggles. Ha 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 ha. And you get people who are really big laughers. So they really keep the fire going and they're laughing. Ah ha ha. Then it triggers somebody else. Ah ha ha. Then everybody is like, ha ha ha. And then you get those muscles in your cheeks and maybe you're crying a little bit. You're laughing so hard. Then people are like, ah, whoo, ha ha, whoo. And it dies down. And then it might bubble up. Somebody thinks it's funny again. So it's organic. We don't know how long the meditation will go. Can go anywhere from like a minute to 5 minutes. I've never had one go longer than 5 minutes. I could only imagine how rock hard my abs would be if I did. And then, you know, as the laughter professional, you just ask people not to talk. You don't want people to engage their brain. Just stay in that beautiful floaty energy. And, you know, then for me, I do a prayer, like, you know, asking people to send this beautiful energy to people in the world that they know that could use it, because it's high vibration, magic medicine, it's energy. And it translates even in Zoom, when we're in the Zoom room, the energy translates. So we can send energy around the world. And then I ask people to take energy for themselves. We just created lots. Once we've done that piece, I ask people to help Dr. Kateria and his goal for world peace, and ask people to send this healing energy to places in the world. Right. I believe that world peace is possible. We just need everybody on the same page. Everybody, you know, stops taking sides. We need to just jump in the center, you know, just be like, let's rise above all of the stuff that's going on. And I know it sounds easy.
So, you know, you mentioned the corporations, you send them to the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum. If we got them in there, like, they might start thinking differently instead of thinking they can control us, that they'll, you know, become more humane.
Can you imagine? You know, in 2020, there was a huge campaign in the laughter world because we're in so many countries. We were advocating to have 1 minute of laughter for world peace during the Tokyo Olympics in 2020. And we were close, but then, of course, the world shut down and we had more important things to look at.
Like the benefits as well, because I can't remember the name of the book, but I remember I was reading a book and the guy was told that he had cancer and he was going to die. So he decided he wanted to die happy and he started looking at all comedies and everything. And he cured himself of cancer just through laughter.
Norman Cousins.
Norman Cousins, that's the one.
Yeah, Anatomy of an Illness, if anyone wants to read more about that. Yes, it's not new. You know, I think there was a lot of forefathers before Dr. Kateria. Of course, Patch Adams. Dr. William Fry, he's the father of gelontology, the study of laughter. You know, there's so much research, and that's why Dr. Kateria decided to create laughter yoga. He was writing an article about laughter, the benefits of laughter. And as he was researching, he was like, wow, there's all this research about that. Laughter is the best medicine, so why don't we just laugh? And that's how it all began. It started with five people in a park in India. And I think that's funny, you know, billions of people, well, a billion anyway, and he could only find five people that were willing to play.
And
I don't feel so bad if people don't come to my club.
Because I've been at events and I remember that there was some people that were organized, they done the laughter thing, and it was kind of like, okay, just laugh. So it was like, it started off with fake laughter and then somebody would do a real loud fake laughter. But within minutes, you're just cracking up because you're laughing at him pretending he's laughing. And then you watch people that are really laughing. And before you know it, the whole lot are, you know, out of control and just belly laughter.
Right? Exactly. It's contagious in a good way.
Exactly. So you've been a 2-time TEDx speaker. So we were talking about worms, about sprout, about laughter. What were they about?
Yeah, they were actually both. They were both about worms. Yeah, two kind of different spins on worms. And yeah, the one from 2013 was my the one I did for one group in Toronto, and it still stands. I look at that TEDx talk today, and the information in there is really grand. And I think because it's worms, I have a psych degree, so I'm fascinated by people. I think many people were traumatized as children by worms, like after a rainy day, or they had a fishing incident, even though I said you can't say the F word. you know, so if you were traumatized as a child by something, you're not looking to that as a solution as an adult. Like, you're not looking at that article or that, you're not watching that TED talk. So although it's great information, you're not even seeing it. So I think that with the laughter, now because I used to sort of like throw up all over people, like, oh, you have to have this. This is really important. La, 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 la. And I wasn't listening that they were, you know, maybe freaked out by worms. And now with the laughter, I get them laughing. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Once they like me, then I can say I have worms too. And you can too. Right. Then it's kind of broken down. Now they've already got a liking for me because I made them laugh. It's how you know, it's how you make people feel. So I make them feel good. And then I can let them know, hey, I have this kind of more pressing topic that I'm wanting to, like, I really want people to care about the planet. But if you're in a mental crisis, you can't. You have to get out of that crisis first.
And I think sometimes a lot of the fears, anxiety come from the parents, because the parent is reacting, whether it's fear of spiders, bees, whatever it is. The child automatically becomes afraid but doesn't even know why. And then when they're older, they see a bee and they just go into panic mode, when in reality, they just remained calm, everything would be okay.
Absolutely. Yes, it's a learned behavior, which is why, you know, at the beginning in 2002, I started having a table wherever I tried to sell my worms, and I realized people were afraid of worms. So I'd say, ew, worms in the house. And then that would be the barrier. They just, like, they couldn't think of anything more than that. So I decided to take on school workshops, because I was like, how am I going to do this? Oh, okay, I'll do education. Like an entrepreneur, you know, just ebbing and flow. Okay, all right, I got to do this. What do I need to do? Educate. I got to create the market. So then I was like, now I just have to wait 20 years till I have buying power. I did it. I made it. And I realized how important it is to educate the children so that we can bypass that fear. If they go home and their parents are like, ooh, worms, no. They can say, did you know they eat half their weight? They have five hearts each. They turn garbage into black gold. You know, they make nutrient-rich fertilizer. They were around since the dinosaur. Dinosaurs not here. I know there's birds and whatever, but the big honking dinosaurs, gone. Worms were with them. Still here, survivors.
I think people don't realize that it just takes one generation. And unfortunately, the education system has been infiltrated as well. But sometimes there's, like, I think in the States, it's something like 2 million that are homeschooling. And like with my youngest child in here, is copying the finishes to them. And you just see how creative they are, how open they are and everything. And like, they're living in the present, you know. Mm. Whereas if a child is going to the education, I think sometimes 5 and 6, they last it. They're being conditioned. Whereas I see now my child is about to turn 10, and that still, you know, just free.
Open. Oh, yeah. So beautiful. What a gift. Yeah.
And the more we can bring that into the world as well, you know, because like he doesn't want evil or anything to be anybody, you know, the way it is. Whereas sometimes in some schools, they even put them in different places and sit them. Like, I remember when I went to school, they'd put, I can't even remember what religion the child was, because we went to a Christian brother school. They just put them outside the door. Like the things that they do. Can you imagine that poor child probably suffering today because of that? Like, so like, whereas no, they're just everybody getting on. And the more that that can happen, and, you know, like bringing the worms in, the sprouts, all that kind of stuff, even the laughter into the school, like that's what's needed.
Yes. Yes. Right. So just like the worms, starting with kindergarten, getting the kindergarten children laughing for no reason. Imagine starting the day with laughter in the classroom, or any time that it's getting a little bit stressful, have a little laughter break. You know, teens are probably the hardest audience to get to laugh. And I didn't realize. I was doing work with Girls Inc., which is like an organization similar to Big Sisters, Big Brothers. And so I'd done a lot of work with the girls, and I went in as a laughter professional. I got all in my head because they weren't laughing. I was like, oh, why aren't they laughing? I thought it would be an easy thing because they knew me. And then I was like, oh gosh, they're teens. They don't want to look ridiculous. And when you're laughing, you look ridiculous unless everyone's doing. So then I realized, okay, I need to put on music. So as soon as I put on, you know, a peppy pop song, I got them moving and in their bodies. Then we could go from there. So it's, you know, these little ways, but I think teaching the children, because adults, like the worms, if they're afraid of worms, they're so serious, the weight of the world. Oh, we got to pay our bills. What about my job? How are we going to pay for your education? All of these things are weighing on everybody. So we don't take time to laugh and play. So starting with the children, getting them as a habit, as part of their health plan to laugh every day and connect, will increase creativity, help them feel better, boost their immunity. Oh, and then they can bring it home and help their parents.
Absolutely. And I mean, like with the craziness that's going on, as you mentioned, all the different things people are worried about paying the bills. And but the thing is, when you're laughing, you can't have two emotions at once. And it's not a case of you finish your laughter and then you just return back. You kind of, it dissipates the anxiety, the stress just goes away.
It totally does. And I have a tip for people that for driving. I came up with this because when people cut you off, it's never, or rarely, maybe it is sometimes, personal. It's not like, oh, there's Roy, let's get him. I mean, maybe it is. I'm not sure. I don't know your people. So now when, often it's a mistake, you know, maybe your lane is running out and you didn't realize, and oh, now you got to cut somebody off. But you always know when you've done it. So people are often looking in there in the mirror. So when somebody cuts me off at train, I'm like, oh, time to do laughter yoga. So I like flail my arm. I'm doing my laughter yoga, but the person's looking and they think, oh my gosh, she's really angry. She's cuckoo. And I actually get more space. I'm laughing. I'm awash in the love drugs because it's like I'm right. It's so beautiful. So for the listeners, that's a wonderful tip. Instead of getting mad, hey, why'd they cut me off? You're laughing. it's a change. We're in charge of our own pharma.
Very good. And you talk about brain gym to get out of stress. You may tell me about that.
Yeah. So brain gym is, I incorporate a lot of different modalities. Brain gym is kind of gymnastics for your brain. There's little things you could do. We could do one while we're sitting here. So just put one hand on your shoulder and you just push down on the opposite shoulder. You push down and you drag across to the opposite hip. These are called cross crawls. You do the other side. You do it several times and that connects your lobe. So that connects your brain. Sometimes our brain becomes disconnected and we become more left or right brain dominant. This helps connect our lobes so that we're fully using our brain. Another one is it's called thinking cap and brain gym. You take your finger and thumb and forefinger and you take your ear and you just unfurl your earlobe, your ears. It's got that little ridge. You unfurl that and there are acupressure points in our ear. It's like a full body massage. And again, kind of lights up your brain. If you have to have a difficult conversation, or you need to really come up with some ideas, doing thinking cap is really a great way to turn on your brain. So then you're just using more capacity.
Very good. I mean, I just love what you're doing, all the different things with the laughter. It's like everything that you're doing is for the betterment of mankind. And I think if we all have that attitude in life, it's like, you know, what I'm doing in the morning doesn't make a difference. Like the guy that I had on the crypto that today, he was talking about that he was actually working for bankruptcy claims. And he said to himself, am I actually giving any value in the world? And I think if we all ask ourselves what we're doing, am I bringing value to the world? Look in the mirror. And if it's a no, or you're just kind of chugging through life like you're working for the city, collecting taxes, or just, you know, doing fines and annoying people, I think it's time to change and do stuff that, you know, that you're making people laugh, are healthy, and you know that you're bringing value. And I think that's and you're doing such amazing things. And you might let people know, thank you very much for a beautiful conversation, where they can find you.
Thank you. I would love to send people to my laughter page because we need it more than ever. It's kathysclub.com. And I do have a free laughter club every Tuesday, 30 minutes super fun self-care on Zoom. It's 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. So wherever you are in the world, check out Time Zone Mamba, check it out. And I do incorporate tapping, brain gym, Qigong. Laughter goes with everything. So come and check it out. Plan to attend twice if you've never done laughter yoga before, because it could be awkward the first time. Everything is when we do it new.
No, perfect. And I think you've got a YouTube channel as well? Of it?
I do, yes.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll make sure, because I've got all the links. All the links will be in both the audio and the video. So thank you very much.
Beautiful. Thank you, Roy. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, so that's all for the meditation podcast. And I'm actually going to say the awakening as well, because I think in that one where I'm exposing fraud and corruption, but with solutions, this is the solution. So I put it on that one as well. So until next week, take care. So I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to give us a thumbs up, 5-star rating, and share with your friends. And you'll find all my shows with the QR code or bio.link/podcaster, as well as my podcast coaching. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com, helping people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. Also, if you'd like to go on a podcasting tour, I can help you do that. And if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me on my bio.link/podcaster. Until next week, take care.